The word of God given to us today are Psalms chapter 119, verses 9 to 16. It is page 891 in the Old Testament. Today's words are from Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. I will read the words. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Amen. Psalm 119 is a poem, the theme of which is the Word of God. The reason that the psalmist longs for God's Word and praises them is because the Word of God is the very God who is our strength, and he came to be sure that one can be saved when one relies on God's Word and overcome the world. Now, Psalm 119 has 22 stanzas, and each stanza is made up of 8 lines, and it is made up of a total of 176 lines, and each stanza begins with the 22 Hebrew alphabet in their alphabetical order, and which is known as the form acrostic. Now, today's text is the second stanza, and each of his lines begin with the second Hebrew alphabet bet. This is from verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. The Hebrew word, which has been translated as a young person, is nahar, and this word is used most often to refer to a person who is between the age of a youth and young adult. In the Genesis, there is a verse which refers to Ishmael as Nahar. Now, Ishmael was Abraham's son, who was born to Hagar, the servant of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. When Sarah could not conceive, she gave Hagar to her husband Abraham, and Hagar bore him a son. After Ishmael was born, Sarah gave birth to Isaac, as God had promised. Now, Sarah kicked out Hagar and Ishmael from her home for the reason that the Ishmael, who was 14 years older than Isaac, had made fun of Isaac. This was when Isaac had been weaned. Now, when a child is weaned, it depends on the times and the culture. But it takes at least a year or two for the child to be weaned. So when Ishmael was turned out of the house, he was a teenager. The Bible referred to him as Nahar. The other time that this word was used was when an angel told Abraham not to touch the child, when Abraham took Isaac to the Mount Moriah and tried to offer him as a sacrifice. The angel used the word Nahar to refer to Isaac when the angel told Abraham not to touch the child. It is thought that Isaac at this time was also a teenager. But there are instances where Nahar is not used to refer to a teenager. When Joseph was sold off as a slave by his brothers, he was 17. After he was sold off, he came to serve as the head of steward at the house of Potiphar, the captain of the Egyptian guards, and was imprisoned on false charges. While he was in prison, an official in charge of Pharaoh's wine and official in charge of Pharaoh's bread also were imprisoned in the same prison. Joseph interpreted their dreams for them, and these dreams happened to be about their future. As Joseph has interpreted the dream, the official in charge of Pharaoh's wine was forgiven and was released from prison. 2 years after his return to the palace, the Pharaoh came to have a disturbing dream. And the official, who was in charge of Pharaoh's wine, remembered Joseph and thought he was the right person to interpret the king's dream. Now, when the official introduces Joseph to Pharaoh, when we look at Genesis 41, verse 12, he refers to him as that young man. And the word young man is Nahar, according to the chapter, that chapter of Genesis. Since it is said that Joseph was 30 when he became the prime minister of Egypt due to his interpretation of the king's dream, Joseph would have been in his late 20s when he went to the king to interpret his dream. So we can tell from these that the word Nahar was used to refer to young people, from teenagers and also including people in their 20s and 30s. Psalm 119 talks about the actions of a young person, but would it only have limited application for young people? No. The word should be applied to people of all ages, but young people in particular should pay attention to them. The reason for this is that a person is most easily tempted by the world during the time of his or her youth. In Analects of Confucius, he refers to age 40 as the age of no illusion, or purhok in Korean. This tells us that people up to age of 40 are prone to be tempted by the world. Confucius is speaking in general terms as to how young people can be misled by temptations. And the Bible also lets us know that, as well, that even if one is born again in Jesus, it is not easy to overcome the temptations that come along during one's younger years. But when we think about what the Bible tells us about human nature, we know that it is impossible to become a person free from all temptation to sin, even when one becomes older than 40. This is why people of all ages, not only young people, should listen carefully to the text. In verse 9, the Korean version of the Bible asks, "What can a young man do to purify his actions?" The Hebrew word, which has been translated as actions in the Korean Bible, is a word which is like Hebrew words for a road, the way, or the path. Literally, the word means a big path, and symbolically, it has the meaning, connotes actions. When we read the Proverbs, it tells us that God will be a shield to those whose actions are perfect, but to the contrary, that God hates evil deeds. In chapter 8, verse 13 of Romans, it is stated that by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What the verse means by misdeeds of the body is that one should not act according to one's desires. It also tells us that there is life in good deeds. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus taught us the importance of good deeds. If the people of the Lord live in doing good deeds, It basically amounts to our worship turning into our daily lives and our daily lives turning into worship and giving glory to God this way. When we read chapter 19 of the Revelation, we see that the saints who attend the wedding of the Lamb are wearing fine linen. And it is told that the fine linen stands for all the righteous deeds of the saints. The righteous actions of believers here on earth are the process by which they weave a fine linen that they are to wear at the future wedding of the Lamb. Shouldn't we be diligent in weaving that fine linen so that we won't run out of cloth to dress ourselves properly at the future wedding? Depending on what kinds of actions we take, God can be our shield, or such actions can be the target of God's anger. Depending on what actions we choose, we can live or end up dying. Depending on how we act, we can give glory to God or soil His name. Depending on what we do, we can wear proper clothes made of fine linen or not be able to wear such clothes. By asking, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? The psalmist is in effect asking, with what can the actions of a person be made pure? The answer is God's word. The psalmist answers, by living according to your word. The literal meaning of living according to your word has the meaning of to put a fence around or to guard. We can only purify our actions if we keep to God's word as if we were putting a fence around them and guard them. When the seed of word of God is planted in our heart, the earth, the seed should put down its roots deeply and grow well. If we do not listen to God's word and keep them, Satan takes away the seed that were planted in our hearts. If we cannot remember the word we heard during the sermon or Bible study, we should examine whether we had the words planted in the earth of our souls by the planted in the earth of our souls be taken away by Satan. To keep God's words mean that one does not abandon God's word even when one gets into trouble or faces persecution while keeping God's word. To keep God's word means that we do not let the worries of the world, the temptation for things and other kinds of greed get in the way of the word of God bearing fruit in us. If we find that our hearts are not at rest because of worries about things going on in the world, this is an evidence that we were not successful at keeping God's words. Of course, there are all kinds of things to worry about in the world. What are you worried about right now? If your heart is unsteady because of the temptations about things or other kinds of greed, it is because you did not keep God's word. In order to keep God's word, one should keep thinking about the word we hear on Sundays and the word we hear during early morning worship or read during quiet times. And these words should put down their roots deep in our hearts. In this context, the psalmist sought God out with all his heart. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. The reason psalmist sought God was in order to keep his word and not to wander away from his word. The seeking God means to go before God often, consult him, and search for him. And we have said that such actions amount to prayers. The reason the psalmist prays to God with all his heart is because his sole desire is to keep the Lord's word and do not want to wander away from the word in order to keep them. It is a prayer that vows to be near God's word all the time. The psalmist prayed this way because he knew that the word of God protects him. Shouldn't our prayer include such a petition? It is important to pray for humanity, the country, and the church. But it is also important to pray that we will not wander away from God's word as the citizens of God's kingdom. If we do not wander away from God's word as we pray, we will not be shaken by the temptations of worldly values. There is no room for worldly values to occupy our thoughts. Why would a person's heart become corrupt and go bad? It's because such a person's heart became captivated by the worldly values. The actions of a person who has wandered from God's word and is captivated by the worldly values cannot be good. Now, Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of the high priest Eli, did bad deeds in violation of God's command. Because they wandered away from God's command and allowed themselves to be captivated by worldly values, they soiled the tent and the sacrifices which should have been kept pure. Now God is patient, but he will not tolerate the person of evil deeds forever. God destroyed the family of Eli, the priest, who engaged in evil deeds, and raised up Samuel, the man of good deeds. Samuel, after having been called by God, lived by doing good deeds. The psalmist of Psalm 119, so that he will not become a person of evil deeds who has left the word of God, lived a way of life, described in verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. A crime, regardless of who the victim is ultimately committed against God. God decreed his commandments and laws so that a person would respect and love other people. Therefore, there is no sin which is not related to God. Psalmist says that he kept God's word in his heart in order not to sin against God. According to his experience, Psalmist knew that he will not sin against God when he keeps God's word in his heart. Sin happens when one does not keep God's word in one's heart, but in one's head only. It happens when he loses the word of God to Satan, when he abandons the word of God because of troubles he gets into by keeping them, and when the word of God cannot come to fruition in him because of his worries about worldly things, temptations for things he feels, and other kinds of greed in him. Therefore, we should keep God's word in our hearts and should not lose them for whatever reason. We must pray with the words of Jesus, lead us not into temptation in our hearts, and pray always. In the same way that Jesus won over Satan's temptations with the word of God, we also must win over Satan's temptations with God's word. We must store God's word in our hearts and pull them out whenever there is a power that wants to tempt us and win over it. The psalmist probably had an experience of sinning against God. Is there any righteous person who has not sinned against God in this world? Is there any one of us who has come to worship this morning who has not sinned against God? Think about the past sins you committed. Have you ever regretted deeply about the foolish acts you committed? When a person who has sinned against God deeply understand how foolish his actions were, he would not want to ever repeat such sin. The psalmist knew from experience that in order not to fall to temptations of sin anymore, he had to keep God's word in his heart. It would be hard for innocent children to understand when their parents or teachers tell them that they should keep God's word in their hearts. But for those who have had the experience of sinning against God and have regretted it deeply, this verse will not just be a poetic verse to them. The psalmist wanted to keep God's word in his heart even more than he had before. And in order to firmly keep God's word, he wanted to learn them. The verse 12 describes the state of such heart. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. To say, teach me, is a prayer that reveals a will to learn. And of course, he probably does not mean that he had not learned God's word up to this point. He would have learned the laws of God. But he's praying his hope of learning more about God's word. The word learn is the same as the word teach in Hebrew. We cannot last learn only when God teaches his word to us. The psalmist wanted to continuously learn God's word. We should also make efforts to learn God's word. We should learn not only to accumulate biblical knowledge. We should learn in order to properly keep God's word in our hearts, so that we will not sin against God, so that we will not wander from God's word, and keep our actions pure. The more we properly keep God's word in our heart, the chances of us winning over the worldly temptations become greater. The psalmist says, praise be to you, Lord. Why would he have said this? Wouldn't it be because he knew that he could become pure, not fall into sin, and walk the right path by the word of God? The psalmist did not stop at just learning God's word, but he declared God's word. This is from verse 13. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. In the Bible, there are records of words of God directly spoken by God, and the words that have been written down by Moses and other writers of the Bible according to God's instructions. The books that were written down by the writers of the Bible, by inspirations they received God, have been bounded into 66 books and make up today's Bible. Until this came to be, there was leading from God. The Bible which we read and hear about, and which is the Word of God, was made from divine revelations from God. There are various ways in which God makes his revelations known, but ultimately all the words of the Bible are from the mouth of God, whether they are directly spoken words or words indirectly spoken, God's words, whether they are in the form of books of law, books of chronicles, books of poetry, books of prophets, books of gospels, or books of letters, are passed down unto us with vitality. It is truly grace for us to be able to declare the word of God that we received with our lips. But the word of God cannot be declared by anybody simply out of a desire to do so. Would you be able to tell others about the word of God to people around you or to your family simply by holding the Bible in your hand, just because you want to, without any preparation? There must be help from the Holy Spirit, and one must first become pure through the Word of God. Let us all become people who declare the Word of God, and in order to do so, we must first live according to God's Word, keep the Lord's Word in our hearts, and purify our actions. This is from verse 14. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Another reason that the psalmist wants to keep God's word and to learn them is because he enjoys God's word. Generally, people take pleasure in wealth. How many people do you think there are who dislike money and dislike wealth? Even children, when they have some idea about the value of money, like money. But doesn't money become something harmful rather than something beneficial once rejoicing over money becomes the purpose, or one ends up disregarding what he or she ought to do as a human being in pursuit of money? Now, Psalmist is not saying that it is only natural that people like money or that rejoicing over money is a good thing. What he is saying is that one should rejoice over God's word as much as one rejoices over wealth. Do you like the word of God as much as you like money? Let's think about whether we rejoice over keeping more and more of God's word in our hearts in the same way as rejoice over how our money and wealth increase. Are we as joyful in taking a chapter of God's word in as when 50,000 won comes into our pocket? If a chapter of the Bible which comes into our hearts is the same as a joy, creates the same joy as the joy I get from earning 50,000 won, then when the 66 books of the Bible comes into our heart, the 66 of the books of the Bible made up of 1,189 chapters, it would be equivalent to pleasure given to us by 59,450,001. What brings more joy, reading the Bible from the beginning to the end during a year or earning 60 million won? Let's say that the 60 million is not our regular pay, but an extra pay. Which pleasure would you choose? We can think that it is inappropriate for the psalmist to compare pleasures of God's word to the pleasure of wealth. But even Jesus said, "Your heart is where your treasure is." If we consider the general psychological tendency of persons to like money, we can say that for a person who takes joy in God's word as much as he rejoices over money, God's word gives him a very high level of pleasure. A woman who broke the alabaster jar of perfume before Jesus' death clearly rejoiced over God's word, Jesus, more than she rejoiced over her treasure. If a person could be joyful over God's word as he's joyful over his wealth, such a person is a blessed person and is a child of God who brings joy to him and is a disciple of the Lord. Now, this is verses 15 to 16. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Now, verses 15 and 16 tells of the resolves that the psalmist make. Before the psalmist made these resolutions, he lived as he had resolved. But he's saying that he will continue to do so, to say out loud God's word in a small voice, as is translated in Korean Bible, is to meditate on God's word. This is the same resolve that the writer of Psalm 1 had made, that he will meditate on God's word day and night. Now, the writer of Psalm 119 resolves on four things. First, he will say God's word aloud in a small voice. Second, he will pay attention to God's word. Third, he will rejoice over God's word. And fourth, he will not forget God's word. Now, these four resolutions are interrelated. A person who meditates on God's word pays attention to them, rejoices over them, How could you forget God's word when you rejoice over God's word? The grace of joy that one receives from God's word is remembered not with one's head, but one's heart. In the second stanza of Psalm 119, the psalmist asked, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And answered his question by saying, by living according to your word. Now, the living according to the word is not different from the four resolutions that psalmist made in the latter part of the stanza. Living according to God's word is to meditate on his word day and night, paying attention to his word, rejoicing over his word, and not neglecting his word. If our daily routines become what the psalmist resolved, then our actions will surely become pure. And we will become the witnesses of the Lord who bring glory to God by people in the world praising us for our good deeds. The witnesses of the Lord who testify to God's word with their actions. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us that in order to keep our actions pure, we must keep your word in our hearts and obey them. Help us not to be persons who sin against you by keeping your word and searching you out. May we say aloud your word daily with a small voice. Pay attention to your word. Rejoice over your word more than rejoicing over wealth. And help us not to forget your word. We ask for your mercy so the coronavirus virus will not spread further. We pray for your consolation of those who have tested positive for the virus, those who are under quarantine, and their families. And that you will watch over the well-being of government employees, medical professionals, and the related personnel who are working hard to contain the outbreak. As we regard the reality of human beings who are helpless against a tiny virus, allow us to realize that we can only hope in you and count on the help from you, who is our strength. And may this be an occasion that all humanity will come to fear you out of such realization. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.